So you won't be able to enjoy Shabbos. You won't be able to be, you know, to be mechabed Shabbos in the right way. So you can't do that. And the Rambam paskins this. If you look in source number 2, we're not going to read it, but he writes, and he quotes the Sefer HaMenhagim, and he writes that when Purim falls on Friday, you do the Suda Shachris, and he just, you know, gives a one liner b'nei kavod Shabbos. He doesn't get into the two reasons that that the Sefer HaMenhagim brought, but he just writes because of kavod Shabbos. Now it's interesting, you know, if I would ask you an exact time. So the language of the Sefer HaMenhagim is Shachris, and that's the language that the Ramah quotes. Well, how does the Mishnah Berurah understand that word, Hasuda B'Shachris? So he writes, Haynu Kodim Chatzos Hayom L'Chatchila. So Mishnah Berurah says, L'Chatchila, you should eat before Chatzos Hayom. And then he writes, Vayin B'Yad Ephraim HaShikosa B'Shem Mahariel, and essentially what the Yad Ephraim is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes the Mahariel, who was also one of the great Ashkenazi poskim and recorder of Minhagim, and he wrote, and he essentially writes that not such a big deal if you begin later. You know, even though the Mishnah Berurah writes Kodim Chatzos Hayom L'Chatchila, if you begin a little bit later after Chatzos, it's not such a big deal. And we'll learn about the timing of what he recommends. Now, the question is, where did this come from? Right, this business of Kodim Chatzos. Right, again, the language of the Sefer HaMenhagim, the Rambam, is Shachris, so that certainly indicates the morning. But the Sharatziyun, the Mishnah Berurah and the Sharatziyun, on those words, Kodim Chatzos Hayom, writes Simen Reish Mem Tes Ayin Shem. That's what he writes. Simen Reish Mem Tes Ayin Shem. Okay, so let's check out Simen Reish Mem Tes, right? Whenever you see, I learned this, I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was learning Mishnah Berurah with a fellow. Oh man, his name is escaping me, one second. I can't believe it. Oh. I can't believe it. His name is escaping me. It'll come to me. But there was a fellow who was a little bit older than me, who had already graduated college. He went to an Ivy League college. I forget which one now, but he went to an Ivy League college. Maybe it was Harvard. I remember it was Harvard or Penn. I forget which one. And he graduated, and he decided he wanted to learn. He never learned before. You know, he didn't grow up through. So he got into learning, and he decided he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he came. He went to Gush first. And he learned in Gush, and then he decided he wanted something a little different, and he switched to Rav Ilson's. When he got to Rav Ilson's, he was wearing like a big white kippah strugah with a hat, so he had a little bit of like a mix of all the worlds there. And then since then, he's become, I think, like super Haredi, and he's like, you know, he's one of these guys that like wasn't learning, and all of a sudden he just like, you know, he graduated like Harvard, and then he was just, I think, went to Harvard. Graduated Harvard, and he's just like, you know, maybe I'll learn Gemara, and he just like, you know, after like a year or two, like became like a big Talmud Chacham. But anyways, I was learning with him. I remember I was learning Mishnah Berurah with him, and he said, you know, I was lazy. You know, it says, Mishnah Berurah says, you know, check out what I read in the Bir Halacha, Ayin Bir Halacha, Ayin this, Ayin that. I never Ayined. You know, I never looked it up. I just, you know, okay, fine. You know, I'll take his word for it, whatever it is. And he would look up every time. Every time the Mishnah Berurah would say, Ayin Bir Halacha, Ayin, you know, Shem, Ayin this, he would always look it up. So I learned from him. It's a good idea. You know, Mishnah Berurah says to check out what I say somewhere else. You know, it's probably advisable to do it. So if you look in Simen Reish Mem Tes, it's in Hilchos Shabbos. There's a general halacha, which you might be familiar with, that on Erev Shabbos, you're not supposed to have a suda. And the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Reish Mem Tes that if it's a big suda, like an extraordinary suda, you're not supposed to have it at all on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, at all. You're not supposed to schedule it for Erev Shabbos because we're nervous. Even if you have it in the morning, you're not going to have such a great appetite at night. So for example, we don't schedule weddings. Right? There's no weddings on Fridays, even if it's like a holiday weekend and people are off on Friday. Nobody schedules a wedding on Friday because if you can avoid scheduling it, you know, you shouldn't have a big wedding suda on Friday. However, writes the Rambam, and this is very important, that what if it's a suda that has to be on Friday? Like, so for example, suda shezmana erev Shabbos kigon bris milah opinion aben. Right? Let's say there's a bris milah or opinion aben on erev Shabbos. You can't push that off. You can't reschedule the bris milah with opinion aben. That's when it falls out. That's you have to have the suda. So then it's motor. Then you're allowed to have that suda. So that's what it appears to me. That's the minhag. Now, what about eating without a big suda? Let's say a regular suda. I want to have breakfast. I want to have lunch on Erev Shabbos. No problem. Writes the Rambam. Right? Minadin, you're allowed to eat the whole day. You're allowed to eat the suda. Aval mitzvah lihimana milikvoa suda shenahug babachol. Mitesha Sha'os Vamala. But there's a mitzvah lihimana. Says this is the Rama. He doesn't say it's usher. There's a mitzvah lihimana. There's a mitzvah to refrain from having a seuda from 9 hours and on, from the end of the ninth hour and on, it's a mitzvah to refrain not to have this seuda. Okay? Now, why is that? So you'll probably figure it out. Right? The Mishnah Berurah explains this, that it's because of Kavod Shabbos. Right? Because if you start a seuda, even a regular seuda, my lunch, but if I wash after the end of the ninth hour, obviously we're talking about Shos Manios here, the ninth halachic hour, if I wash after that time, then I'm going to be full. And when it comes time for the seuda, Leil Shabbos, I'm not going to have an appetite. So we don't want that to happen. So we tell you, mitzvah lihimana. Again, it's not usher. It's very important, right? It's not usher. He writes, the Rama writes, kol hayom mutar lahascha min adin. Right? According to the halacha, really you can begin the entire day. There's no isser. But mitzvah lihimana, it's best to refrain. Mishnah Berurah does say that if you started, im hischaleinu mafsik, right? If you started, let's say, the seuda before the end of the ninth hour, and now you don't have to stop when the time comes, the end of the ninth hour, you don't have to stop. You can keep going. You can keep eating. Now, so that's in terms of a regular seuda, right? A regular seuda, let's say I want to eat lunch on Friday. I have to make sure to, you know, at least according to the mitzvah lihiman, I have to make sure to eat it before the end of the ninth hour. What about a big seuda? What about a seudas bris milah, right? What about a seudas bris milah? So what time do I have to have that seuda by? It's a big seuda. It's not a regular seuda. Does that apply to the same rules of the end of the ninth hour apply to that seuda? We know you're allowed to have that seuda on Friday, right? A seudas bris milah. You can't reschedule the bris. You're allowed to have it on Friday. So when do you start from? You know, when do you have to start by? So the Bach, in his commentary on the Tour, writes, he quotes the Ramah, and he quotes the Ramah that it's mutter. He doesn't give us a time frame. He says when it comes to a big suda, the same thing applies. So just like we have generally a mitzvah lihimana not to be koveya suda after the end of the ninth hour, so that applies to a bris mila and a pidyon haben as well. Now granted, bris mila and pidyon haben usually people are doing in the morning anyway because of his reason makdim in the mitzvos. But at the same time, you could do it later. I've been to a bris milah that was in the afternoon. You know, sometimes people have circumstances, you know, people are coming in from out of town, whatever the case is, so they delay it. But l'chatchila, you can't start it after the ninth hour. Again, b'diyevet, he writes, if you didn't, that's what he writes the first line, dimlo yischilu kodim teisha shels, yachol l'haskil achar tes, b'haynu tzorech shah, if it's a shas hadchak, you know, you're stuck, you didn't start it before the end of the ninth hour, obviously you can. But l'chatchila, try to do it before the end of the ninth hour. Comes the Mishnah Berurah, and on those words about the bris milah, the sudas bris milah, and the pidyon haben, comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he writes, "Umikom akom lechatchila mitzvah lahaktima b'shachris mishum kavod Shabbos." Mishnah Berurah says, "No, lechatchila do it in the morning. What's the morning? Presumably before chatzos, shachris. That's the same language that the Sefer HaMinhagim used regarding the Purim Suda, and that the Rama used regarding the Purim Suda. Ukimoshim avur b'simen tafresh tzadi heisif beis." And he says that that's the language that we wrote over there, that the Rama writes when it comes to Sudas Purim. He says, b'diyavid, you can do it the whole day. Again, there's no isser, right? It's not usser to do it later in the day. So b'diyavid, you can do it the whole day, but l'chatchila, you can do it early. So again, the Bach seems to say, l'chatchila, you just got to start before the end of the ninth hour, if it's a Sudas Bris Milah and a Sudas Pidyon Haben. And the Mishnah Berurah says, no, if you look at the Purim Suda, we say before Chatzos, we say Shacharis. So presumably that would apply here too, meaning that whenever you have a big Suda, you got to start that early. You got to do that Shacharis. You have to do that before Chatzos. If it's a regular Suda that you're eating, so I could do that later in the day. Because a regular Suda, as long as I start it by the end of the ninth hour, I'm not going to be so full when Shabbos comes. Or if it's a big Suda, Sudas Bris Milah, Pidyon Haben, or according to the Mishnah Berurah, Sudas Purim, that's a big Suda. You can't do that. You can't wait till the end of the ninth hour or close to the end of the ninth hour. You got to start before Chatzos. Or else you're going to be full. It's not going to be Kavod Shabbos. So this seems to be what he says. The Mishnah Berurah does realize that the Bach didn't say like him in the Shaarat Zion. He's a little bit bothered. He says, even though the Bach said the end of the ninth hour, he writes, it's Lav Davka. It's Lav Davka. He really means earlier. It's hard to say the Bach is Lav Davka. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah, that's what the Mishnah Berurah wants to say. Now, again, the language of the Ramah is Shacharis. That is the language of the Rama, and that's based on the language of in the Sefer HaMinhagim. Although it's interesting to look at where this idea of before Chatzos comes from. So I saw Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva about this, and Rav Shechter writes that it comes from the I think this is a Ramah. I wrote here Shulchan Aruch, but I think it's the Ramah in Siman Tafresh Lamed Tes, which is Hilchos Sukkah. And there, the Ramah says, "V'lo yochal bayom mechatzos ve'elach." This is the Ramah says that when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, Erev Sukkis, you should not eat after chatzos. Meaning, he's talking about a kviyas suda. You could always have a snack and a drink. That's fine, but a kviyas suda you shouldn't have after chatzos. Why? Kedei sheyochal b'sukkah l'teyavim. Right, so you have a good appetite on Sukkis. And he writes, "Dumi da achilas matzah." There's a halacha when it comes to achilas matzah that we don't eat matzah the whole day erev Pesach, but matzah ashira you can eat in the morning. Right? There's a whole question about what to do with erev Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos, which I believe is this year also, right? Which that's another exciting topic. So matzah ashira you can eat early, but after chatzos you're not supposed to eat even matzah ashira. So it's based on that. So the Shulchan Aruch says erev Sukkis. Also, you should not eat after chatzos. And the Mishnah Berurah himself points out that even though the Ramah says the word chatzos here, he says the Achronim agree that it's not really usher until the end of the ninth hour, right? As we said in Hilchos Shabbos, right? The end of the ninth hour is really the cutoff. And even then, he uses language here usher in the Mishnah Berurah, but it's not really usher. It's a mitzvah lihimana. And the Shaar HaTzion also, he says that a lot of the poskim disagreed with this. So based on that, Rav Shechter writes in his tshuva that this business about chatzos, that the Mishnah Berurah says lechatchila to start the suda before chatzos, Rav Shechter feels is a big chumrah, and he says he feels that Mishnah Berurah got this from Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Pesach, but a lot of the Achronim disagree and say that there's no such iser to eat a suda after chatzos, and really it's only the end of the ninth hour. That's the time that's important. So Rav Shechter thinks it's a big chumrah. He writes in the tshuva that you don't have to really start before chatzos. Rav Shechter holds you have to end by the end of the ninth hour, which to me also was a little bit of a chiddush, because it seems from the poskim that I saw, I mean Rav Shechter knows a lot more than me. I'm no one to question Rav Shechter, but I'm just kind of curious. But it seems to be that Rav Shechter is coming from Hilchos Pesach, where they say the end of the ninth hour is a hard stop. You got to really stop by then. But it's. I'm not sure if that carries over to a regular. This is a regular Erev Shabbos. This is not Erev Pesach. There's no Isser. There you have an Isser to eat matzah. Here there's no Isser. It's a mitzvah lihimana, the Rama said. So I'm not sure. If that chumrah of Rav Shechter is muskam, I'm not sure. I'm sure. He has a basis for it, but I'm not sure it's everyone agrees to it. I'm sure you guys may have heard this idea of Pores Mapa Umekadesh. Right? There's a sugya in Arvei Pesachim. Oh, Rav Sobolovsky definitely gave a shir about this, right? No, not yet. He can. He can give a shir on anything. So this is sugya in Arvei Pesachim about Pores Mapu Makadesh. Let's say a person starts their suda early in the day on Erev Shabbos, at a time when it's mutter to start. And, it's going. The suda keeps going. It doesn't stop. And now it's all of a sudden it's time, it's Shkia. It's Kabbalah Shabbos time. So what do you do? So the halacha is that you can just pores mapa, you can cover the food with some sort of a cloth, mekadesh, you make kiddush in the middle of your suda, and then remove the cloth and you continue your suda, and now you just transformed your erev Shabbos suda into your Shabbos suda. And there's a lot of shilas about this. And the Gemara says you can do it. There's a lot of shilas about it. Do you have to wash again? Do you not have to wash again? Is it considered a hefsek? When you do that, when you cover the food and make kiddush, it's not considered a hefsek. When you daven mariv, the Arizal holds you have to daven mariv before, but maybe you could, according to some posts, you could daven mariv afterwards. A lot of interesting shilas that come from it. The Meiri writes in Ksuvis, he writes that this is our minig. My minig and my father's minig, we always do this. Erev, whenever Purim falls on Erev Shabbos, we start the Suda, you have to start when it's still mutter to start. So presumably they started before the end of the ninth hour. They continued a very nice Lebedik long Purim Suda. And when it came time for Shabbos, they would be Pores Napa, they covered the table, Mekadesh, they made Kiddush, Megomer Mesa Suda, and they continued their Suda. Now it's their Shabbos Suda. So the Meiri writes that this is what was done. And the Shulchan Aruch records this halacha. Rav Shechter, if you look, this is just his tshuva that he wrote about it. But Rav Shechter in Source 16 is very opposed to it. He writes, I heard that in Yerushalayim, some have this minhag to do it. But he says it's very difficult because it's clear in the Gemara that this whole idea of Pores Mapu Makadesh is only a bidyeved. It's a bidyevet. You're not supposed to be doing this. If your suda continued until Shabbos, and now you're still eating, so okay, so then you could be paras mapu makadish. But it's not lechatchila. You're not supposed to lechatchila continue your suda all the way to Shabbos. That's not proper kavod Shabbos. Rav Rimon, also Rav Rimon's been writing, you know, like unbelievably during this time. Both of them, Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Rimon Shlita. I mean, they've both been writing just in, you know, an incredible amount. I'm on a WhatsApp chat. I mean, Rav Shechter is sending out his tshuvas that he's writing about these inyanim. I'm on a WhatsApp chat with a bunch of rabbanim, I think mechanchim also, but mostly rabbanim from Chutz Laaretz with Rav Rimon. And people ask him shailas, you know, different rabbanim from all over the place ask him shailas. And of course, now COVID, you know, everybody's asking a lot of interesting shailas. And he answers them. And a lot of times he answers them. And then he writes up a whole tshuva and he puts it on the chat. You know, I think he's writing nonstop. So he's an unbelievable koach. I don't know if you guys had a chance to meet him. I never met him in person. I don't know if you had a chance to meet him in yeshiva, but he's just first of all, I mean, he's so sweet. You know, he's such a sweet person and such a balmidos. You know, I've seen a couple of videos that he's put out. Just such a fine person, but also a massive Talmud Chacham. And he's just like, he's a Mayan, he's Gaber. He just keeps going and going. He asks him Shilas, and just like he keeps like cranking out these tshuvas. You know, it's unbelievable. I don't know when he has time for all this. But anyway, and he's on the WhatsApp chat. You know, he's on the chat. He's answering on the chat. So it's pretty unbelievable. Maybe if you disguise yourselves as, you know, Rabbi Bulka, you know, Wenger, Minkin, and Shulman, you can sneak onto the chat. But it's a pretty cool chat. Anyway, so he also writes, he also wrote a tshuva about this Paras Mapu Makadesh. He also wasn't so excited about it. On the one hand, he wrote, you know, it is something novel because it's a sugya in Arvei Pesachim, and it's not a very common sugya lamaisa. It's not something that people really, you know, people really talk about lamaisa. So the fact that we have like an opportunity to do it is on the one hand is a very exciting thing. And, you know, secondly, you know, to join the Kedusha of Purim. You know, this is really like his, you know, he's a big Yirei Shemayim. So to join the Kedusha of Purim with the Kedusha of Shabbos is also like, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, your Suda is going to be super holy. So he was also excited about that. But he said there's a lot of Shilas. There's a lot of Shilas that come up when you do it. Number one, benching. What do you say in benching? You started the Suda Erev Shabbos, and now you're finishing the Suda on Shabbos. So normally, if it's Shabbos, let's say we start Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos and we continue into the night, so we still say Ritzeh, right? But there's a whole Shaila. Let's say Motzei Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. So what do you say? You know, do you say Ritzeh? Do you say Yalav Yavo? It's a whole Shaila. You know, some are Machmir. The Mishnah Berurah says, you know, best to be Machmir, not to eat a kazayas of bread after Shkia, you know, on a Shabbos like that. Because you get into a Shaila, maybe I should say Yalav Yavo. And you can't say Ritzeh and Yalav Yavo. It's a time to disaster. Either it's Shabbos or it's not Shabbos. You know, you can't be both. So Rabbi Mon says you get into a big problem with benching. You know, what do you say? Do you say Al Anisim? Do you say Ritzeh? You know, in benching, it's a big Shaila. Then you get into a Shaila with Mariv. You know, first of all, it might cause you not to daven Mariv, especially if it's a Mamash Purim Suda, and it continues right into Shabbos. Who knows, you know, when it's going to end and what state you're going to be in, you know, and you might not be able to daven Mariv. You know, you might miss Mariv with a minion. So he said the Minhag HaMekubal is not to do this, but rather to eat it, you know, before Chatzos, like the Mishnah Berurah says, but he says it's possible. It's possible to do it. Okay, so that's just a little bit in terms of the Suda. Let's just spend a few more minutes. I don't want to take too much of your time tonight, but let's spend a few more minutes just talking about some of the interesting things in Yerushalayim this year. So I know that some of you have Chaverim who are in Yerushalayim this year. And in Yerushalayim, it's super exciting, because it's Mamash Purim Mishulash, right? You have Purim, Tesvav, and Yerushalayim is Purim. Tesvav falls out on Shabbos, so what do you do? So we know, number one, the Yerushalmi tells us that your Dalet can never fall out on Shabbos, because if your Dalet falls out on Shabbos, Yom Kippur will fall out Erev Shabbos. We don't want Yom Kippur to fall out Erev Shabbos, because then you go into Shabbos with all the five Inuyim, even though we do fast on Asar B'Teves when it falls on Erev Shabbos. Okay, but that's just a fast day. It's a regular fast day. But Yom Kippur, with all the Inuyim going into Shabbos like that, it's not a pretty, you can shower, you know, it's not an appropriate way to come into Shabbos. So because of that, when they made the calendar, they made it so that Purim would never fall out on Shabbos. But however, Tesvav can fall out on Shabbos. And we know the famous Gemara, right, Gzeira to Rabba, that if Tesvav falls out on Shabbos, so then we don't lay in the Megillah. We don't lay in the Megillah. Why? Because Amar Rabba, Kol Chayim, Kriyas HaMegillah, Ve'na Kol B'Kir B'Mikra Megillah, everybody's chayv to read, not everybody knows how to read. You might take the Megillah in your hand. You're going to carry it to go to a bucky to learn how to lay in the Megillah. You're going to come to carry. Behind the time of the shofar, behind the time of the lulav, says the Gemara. This is why we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. We don't take a lulav when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So we don't lay in the Megillah either. So when do we lay in the Megillah? So the Mishnah in Megillah is very clear. Chalios Erev Shabbos, that if your dalet falls out on Erev Shabbos, Kfarim Makdim and Liom Aknisa, the small villages that don't have anybody to lay, so they can lay on Thursday when they come into the big city for the market day. They can lay on Thursday. The Ayoros Kedolos and Mukafos Choma, current Babayom. And the big cities and the Mukafos Choma, they read that day, right? They read that day, meaning Friday, right? They read on Friday. So it's very clear in the Mishnah that the Mukafos Choma, Yerushalayim, when Tesvel falls on Shabbos, they're going to read on Friday. Why do they read on Friday and not Sunday? Right? Why do we push it up a day and not back a day? So the Gemara says, my time, the Gemara says, Velo Yavor, because the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Velo Yavor, that you can't pass over Purim. So we can only lay the Megillah up until Tesvel. We can lay it early. Chazal were makel to lay the Megillah early before Purim, like we know in the first blot of Megillah, right? You can lay in Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, right? Or the Kfarim can lay in at different times. But in terms of going past Purim, below Yavor, the Pasuk says, we don't go past Purim, we don't go past Tesvav, and you can't lay in past Tesvav. So we learn on Friday. I'm not going to get into this right now, but it's an interesting discussion. The Mishnah Berurah points out that since they're laying on Friday, and think about it, Friday is not Purim for them, right? If you live in Yerushalayim, Friday is not Purim. Friday is Yudal, it's Erev Purim. So they're really laying Shalom Bizmana. It's clear in the Gemara, in the Megillah and Daf Hey, that this is called Shalom Bizmana. The halacha is that if you're laying Megillah Shalom Bizmana, you need to lay with a minion. If you're laying Bizmana, you don't need to lay with a minion. It's nice to lay with a minion. It's more Pirsume Nisa to lay with a minion. But you don't have to. If you have a kosher Megillah, you could read for yourself at home. Or if your person is sick or a person's quarantined or a person whatever, someone can come and read for them at home, right? You don't have to lay with a minion. But in this kind of a case where in Yerushalayim, they're laying on Friday instead of Shabbos, Friday's not Purim for them, that's Shalom Bizmana. Shalom Bizmana, you require a minyan. Because otherwise it's not Pirsumei Nisa. So it comes at an interesting chumrah that you require a minyan in that kind of a case. The Mishnah Berurah says to the point where if there's no minyan, you would lean without a bracha. You would lean without a bracha. Why? So he says it's machlokas rishonim, how to understand the Gemara there in Daf Hei. When the Gemara talks about that you require a minyan, is that only lechatchila you require a minyan Shalom Bizmana? Or even b'di'evet you require a minyan Shalom Bizmana? So that's a machlokas rishonim, had a paskin. So if it's machlokas rishonim, the Shabura says, read it without a bracha. So if you don't have a minyan, you're mamish lane without a bracha on Friday. Okay. Now, so that's Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah, they lane Thursday night and they lane Friday morning. What about Matanos Levyonim? So in that Gemara that asks why we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos, so we all know the Gezerah de Rabbah. Rav Yosef gives a different answer. We don't paskin like Rav Yosef's answer, but Rav Yosef gives a different answer. And he says, Mipnei she'enehem shalaniyim, Nusuos b'mikra Megillah. He says the reason why you don't lay Megillah on Shabbos is because the Aniyim look forward to Mikra Megillah. Why? Payday, right? When it's Mikra Megillah, that means it's payday. That means it's Matanos Levyonim, and people are going to give me cash. I'm very excited. So imagine now Tesvah falls out on Shabbos. All the Aniyim, where are we going to get our money from? Right? They're going to be crestfallen. They're going to be devastated. Says Rav Yosef, because of that, we do not lay Megillah on Shabbos. Unbelievable, right? If you think about it, it's an unbelievable thing. Because the Aniyim will be disappointed, you could work it out to give Matanos Levyonim another time. No, because they'll be disappointed, we move the whole Mikra Megillah. It's an unbelievable lesson, I think, in Ben Adam L'Chavera. Anyway, so we don't paskin like that reason. We paskin like Rabba's reason that you might come to carry it. But the idea of a Nehem Shel Aniyim is Nesus L'Mikra Megillah, that idea is a correct idea. And because of that, the Shulchan Aruch says that we also give Matanos Levyonim on Friday. The day that you lay Megillah in Yerushalayim, you're laying Megillah on Thursday night and Friday morning, which again is not Purim, it's Yudalit, which is Erev Purim, but you're allowed to lay Megillah early. And since you're allowed to lay Megillah early, and we have this concept of Einayim Shalanim Nesuos Mikra Megillah, excuse me, that the Anim are looking forward to Mikra Megillah, so therefore Matanos Levyonim is also on that day. And that's when you give Matanos Levyonim. It's interesting. The Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, I never knew this until I was preparing this year, but he wrote a little kuntres. It's only like 15 pages. I found it on Hebrew Books. But it's called Seder Purim HaMashulash. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, of course, the Rav of Yerushalayim in the 1800s, early 1900s. So he wrote this sefer, Seder Purim HaMishulash, a very thin sefer. It's like 15 pages. You can download the Hebrew books. And he goes through all the halachas. So he writes that if you were not Mekayim Matanos Levyonim on Friday, you can still be Mekayim on Sunday. Now, if you think about it, it's a little bit of a chiddush, right? Sunday is not Purim anymore either. Right? Purim is Tezvav. Sunday is already Tezayin. It's nothing. He says you could be Mekayim Tezayin, you could be Mekayim Ven. Why? Because as we're going to see, the Suda is eaten on Sunday. We'll see about that in a minute. The Suda they eat on Sunday. So since the Suda they eat on Sunday, and Matanos Levyonim is somewhat connected to the Suda, because you have to give money to the Aniyim. Part of the reason why you give money to the Aniyim is that, so that they can afford to buy food for a Purim Suda. So that's not the only reason, but that's part of the reason. So therefore, it's connected to the Suda, so you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah on Sunday also if you did not do it on Erev Shabbos. Okay, now in terms of the Suda, there's a very interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the Bavli doesn't address the Suda at all. According to the Bavli, there's no mention of when the Bnei Yerushalayim have their Purim Suda on a year like this, a Purim Shulash. But the Yerushalmi says, Sudas Purim, Me'achrin v'lo Makdimin. That the Sudas Purim, we push off a day, we don't push it up. Why not do it on Shabbos? Rabbi Zeira ba kumei Rabbi Avohu v'yasu on Shabbos. Why not just do it on Shabbos? Omar lei, Pasuk and Esther says, La'asos osam yimei Mishnah v'simcha. That the Beis Din at that time made these days of Yudalan and Tesvav into days of Mishnah v'simcha. So writes the Yerushalmi, Es shesimcha so tluya be-Beis Din. Right? They made it on a day where the simcha is dependent on Beis Din. Yotza zeh shesimcha so tluya bidei shamayim. But this doesn't include Shabbos. Shabbos, the Simcha of Shabbos, that's Bidei Shemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu decides when the Simcha of Shabbos is. So Beis Din only made Purim on a day when they decided that it was a day of Simcha. So you can't have it on Shabbos. You can't have the Suda on Shabbos. That's what the Yerushalmi says. As an interesting aside, there's a whole discussion if there's even a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. We know there's a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos and a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha? Simcha is a mitzvah on Yom Tov. It's a machta bechagecha. What about Shabbos? It's not so clear. But here the Yerushalmi seems to imply that there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. Okay, so the Ran Paskins like this. He says based on the Yerushalmi, the Rif Paskins like this, the Ran Paskins like this, that you have to have your Suda on Sunday. He does bring a Ra'ah who holds that you have the Suda on Shabbos. And the Ra'ah is kind of madchik the Yerushalmi. That when the Yerushalmi says, Suda is Purim Ma'achrin v'lo Makdimin, it doesn't mean you push it off a day. It means you push it off on that day, meaning on the day of Shabbos, you push it off until after you heard the Megillah already. Don't have the Suda before you read the Megillah. You have the Suda after you read the Megillah. But the Ran says that's not such a great reading of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi seems to be pretty clear that it means you're not doing it on Shabbos itself. So he's not thrilled with it, but there is an opinion of the Ra'ah that you make the Suda on Shabbos. It's interesting. In the 1500s, there was a Talmud Chacham by the name of the Rabbi Levi Ibn Chaviv, the Maralbach, and he wrote a set of Shalos and Tshuvos. He was from Spain, eventually moved to Yerushalayim. And he writes that this doesn't make any sense to me. To have the Suda on Sunday makes no sense to me. Why? He says, because we learn the Suda from the words in the Megillah, Mishteh, Simcha, Simcha, U'mishteh. Right? As we said, Simcha, U'mishteh. Mishteh, B'simcha. Right? You made Mishteh, B'simcha. So we learn it from those words. Says the Maharbach, we learn from those words also that there's an Isser Tainus on Purim. You're not allowed to fast on Purim. We learn from those words. It's Yimei Mishteh, B'simcha. Does it make any sense that we have the Suda on a day when there is no Isser Tainus? Tes Zayin Adar is nothing. It's not Purim. It's not Shushan Purim. You're allowed to fast. You're allowed to give Hespedim. There's nothing to it. There's no Kedusha. So how can we possibly have the Purim Suda be Mekayim the Purim Suda of Mishneh V'Simcha on a day when there is no Isser Tainus? Mishneh V'Simcha is also used to tell us that there's an Isser Tainus on Purim. So the two have to go hand in hand. You can't separate them. It doesn't make any sense. He says, I think it's ridiculous. He says, I think you have to have the Suda on Shabbos. I am going against the Yerushalmi. He says, I know that's a big deal. It's a great language, he writes. V'hinani moda shetos gedola hi elai lachlok al zem mikoach haseichel kevin shebi Yerushalmi nevar. He says, I know it's a big mistake to use my brain to argue on this if the Yerushalmi says so. But, he says, halacha l'maisa, you can rely on it. Why? Because the Rambam, when he talks about the halachos of Purim Shulash, he never says you should change the day of the Suda. So the Rambam must learn that because the Bavli didn't mention it, the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi holds that you make the Suda on Sunday, and the Bavli must hold you make the Suda on Shabbos. That's why the Bavli doesn't say anything about it, and that's why the Rambam doesn't say anything about it. And he writes the Rambam, he's the Morada Asra of our country, right? He's from Spain. The Rambam is the Morada Asra here, so therefore we can paskin halacha l'maisa, you can have the Suda on Shabbos. And that's what he paskin. Now, most poskim did not go with that. The Shulchan Aruch himself, I have it earlier here in source number 9, the Shulchan Aruch himself says very clearly that in osin sudas purim ad yom echad b'shabbos. He says very clearly that the Suda should be on Sunday. And the Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, the Mishloach Manos should be on Sunday, because Mishloach Manos and the Suda always go hand in hand, as we know. In the Shaar HaTzion, he does bring that there is a Pri Chadash who is Machmir to have the Suda and give Mishloach Manos on both Friday and Shabbos. On both Shabbos and Sunday. So that was a Chumrah of the Pri Chadash, I guess, along the lines of that Maral Bach. He didn't want to do away with the Sunday, so he was Machmir to do it on Friday also. I saw an interesting thing that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld in this Sefer of Seder Pur Meshulash, he says not to have a Suda on Shabbos, but he says one should be U'mitzvah laharbos b'ma'achalim uveyayin b'Shabbos zu latzeisi deis sudas purim gamkin. Not to have an extra Suda, but he says in the middle of your Shabbos Suda, have a little extra, have a cup of wine, l'kavod purim, have a little, extra food, l'kavod purim. So, that way you can be yotze the purim Suda within the Shabbos Suda, which is interesting. And he writes also, you should send a little Mishloach Manos. The Chazanish was apparently against sending Mishloach Manos on Purim because he felt it was Uvda Dechol. He writes Uvda Dechol. Now, Uvda Dechol is a very strange concept. Not a strange concept, but it's a very ambiguous concept. It's a concept that's hard to explain what exactly is Uvda Dechol. Uvda Dechol essentially means weekday activities, which are also on Shabbos. What is considered weekday activities? What's not considered weekday activities? Perhaps the Chazanish felt that since, Mishloach Manos, everybody's involved in driving around and doing what they need to do, so maybe that's Uvdu Dechol. Everybody's doing Malacha as they usually make up and deliver the Mishloach Manos, so it's not the right thing to be doing on Shabbos. Maybe that's what he meant. It's interesting, in Halicho Shlomo, they bring from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he was Machmir for himself, Bitzina. He gave Mishloach Manos to like one person quietly on Shabbos. But he wasn't mefarsim, and he actually told people that he didn't want people to publicize this. This was like his own hiddur, his own chumrah, just for himself. But he felt the mikar adin, it's really just Sunday. But Sunday is day for the Suda, Sunday is day for the Mishloach Manos. But he was, machmir for himself. Mishloach Manos are pretty easy to fulfill. You take an apple and a can of Coke, and you give it to someone, that you're yotze Mishloach Manos. So he did that just to be mehadir. Okay, so these are some of the interesting halachos. I'll just end with the last, just two more minutes, with just a little divrei agada. I'm pretty sure that I said this when all you guys were in my shir, because I say it every year, but I think it's, the reason why I say it every year is because I think it's emes. I really think it's true. All of the Bali Musar and the Bali Kabbalah also talk about the fact that Purim is, that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, right? I'm sure you all heard this, a million times every year you hear this, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. In what way is Yom Kippur Yom Kippurim? It seems to be the opposite. Yom Kippur is all about fasting and inuyim, and Purim is all about simcha, eating and drinking and presents and having a good time. It seems to be like nothing to do with one another. So if you think about it, I believe that really Purim and Yom Kippur are flip sides of the same coin. They're flip sides of the same coin. What is that coin? What's the idea of Purim and Yom Kippur? On both days, we're trying to get deep down to who we really are. That's what we're trying to uncover. Because deep down, we have an identity. We have a ratzon. That ratzon is a ratzon Hashem. We know, right, famous Makoros, the Rambam says you can beat someone, to give a get, even though a get has to be given willingly. You can beat him up to give a get. Why? Until he says rotzani. What is that supposed to mean? So we know the Rambam says, because deep down, everybody wants to do the ratzon Hashem. There's a lot of stuff that clouds our vision. There's a lot of stuff that clouds our perspective. Yom Kippur is about digging down and removing all the debris that covers up who we really are and what we really want. How do we do that? Through the inuyim. We don't eat, we don't drink, right? We don't involve ourselves in any physical pleasures, and we just stand all day and daven to Hashem. So that's through the yira. Purim is the same avoda. It's also to get rid of all the shmutz, to get rid of all the things that block who we are and what our ratzon is, but we do it through the ahava. Not through the year. We do it through the Ava. We eat, we drink, we give presents to people, we have a Suda, right? Nichnas Yain Yatzah Sod. That's the idea. I'm not saying to get drunk. We had that shmooze when you guys were in the shir. I'm not saying to get drunk. You drink a little more than you're used to, right? And as we said, hakol, right? Kol echad amar b'v'echad amami to b'vat she'chavin libo la'shamayim. Right? Everybody has to be the shem shamayim. Don't use it as a day, just as an excuse. You know my sheet about that. But at the same time, the concept of nichnas yayon, so even if you drink a little more than usual, you know, you're a little bit more uninhibited. We don't have all the same guards up that we have during the rest of the year. That's the goal of Purim, to kind of peel away those guards, peel away that schmutz that covers up who we are and what our ratzon is, and to tap into what we really want, who we really are and what we really want. That's the avodah of the day. That's why we wear masks, even though now we always wear masks, right? Look at Wenger, right? Now we always wear masks. But the idea of the mask is that our whole lives are masks. Our whole lives, it's all a facade. We're all, we're always walking around, and we have the pressure of our family. We have the pressure of our friends and the pressures of our communities. We have all these pressures that are dictating and kind of guiding us to do this, not to do that. We have all these pressures. Are we always doing what we want and what we know is right? Not always, because we have all these pressures. But we remove the mask after Purim because this is what it's all about. It's about recognizing who we are deep down, what we really want, the fact that we all want to do the Ratzon Hashem, that's what's important. And to Amir Tashem, live our whole lives, from Purim to Yom Kippur, from Yom Kippur to Purim, recognizing who we really are, what we really want. We really want to do the Ratzon Hashem. We have a lot of things that cloud our vision. We have a lot of things that pressure us and push us in different directions. But the more we can peel those away on Purim and Yom Kippur, the more we can tap into that, that real sense of self and that real sense of identity to make sure that we're becoming the best Ovdei Hashem that we can become. Okay.